The Bible. You know you ought to read it, but somehow you just can't seem to relate to it.
After all, how can you find meaning for today in such an ancient book?
We'll answer that question and more in today's study, so stay tuned. Hi, I'm Woodrow Kroll.
I'm Tammy Weisert.
And this is Back to the Bible.
Well, Wood, just looking at the Bible is enough to scare a lot of people.
Yeah, there it sits. It's big, it's thick, it's imposing, unless you have the keys that unlock its meaning.
Okay, so where do we find those keys? Where do we start?
Well, I think we have to start by changing our view of the Bible. You know, instead of thinking of it as a big, ancient book filled with God's commands, I think we need to think of it as God's personal correspondence with us. You know, it's his love letters to us. It's a rather long email, if you will.
Okay, well, ancient book, love letters. I'm liking that love letter perspective. I mean, it's much more approachable. Mm. It says that God's words are actually there for me.
So there you have the first key, how to approach the Bible. Then we need to find the keys that unlock the meaning of the Bible. And that's what we're going to focus on in our study today.
Okay, Wood, you have your doctorate in theology. So, come on, people are probably thinking, yeah, well, of course the Bible's easy for him to relate to.
Well, I can understand why some people might say that. The fact is, the Bible wasn't written just for theologians. It was written for you and me, just people the way we are. And what I'll be talking about today are common sense tips that will make a big difference for anyone who wants to understand what God says to them through his word.
All right, now this is an important study, so everyone stay tuned. But Wood, I have just one more question before we get started.
Okay.
Okay. Please, please tell us that you still run into things in the Bible that make you just scratch your head a little?
No, I've got it all mastered. No, that's not true. There's still a lot of things that baffle me. But Tammy, I have to tell you, I can make more sense out of the Bible than any computer manual I've ever read. I mean, let's get real here. Just because I can't understand everything I read in one of those computer manuals doesn't mean I stop using my computer. If we practice everything we do understand from God's Word, I think we'll find even more of His Word easy to understand, too.
Well, thank you for the encouragement. Now let's get right to our study here on Back to the Bible.
Today, I want to share some of the ways that have helped me relate to the Bible, turning resistance into anticipation and eagerness when I read God's Word. I hope by sharing them with you that they'll be an encouragement to you. It's important that you don't see the Bible as something too big for you to relate to. So, how do you relate to the Bible? Well, here's how I do it. First of all, I find the meaning of the message in the Bible. I go right after the message. I'm not looking at just reading a chapter or reading a few verses. I want to find out what the message is. If you want your Bible to come alive, you have to soak up the meaning of the most important words in the Bible. So the question is, how do you determine which words are the most meaningful? Well, here's my little tip to you. First of all, check out the verbs. You know, verbs are where the action is. Read the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. And when you do that, take note of the verbs in verse 20. You remember the story when the young boy was still a far way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, those key verbs reveal worlds of truth about that father's love for his prodigal son. And it reveals a lot about God's love for us, too, doesn't it? So, first of all, check out the verbs. That's the way to find the meaning of the message. But secondly, look also at the nouns, especially the power words, you know, doctrinal words like redemption or salvation, forgiveness, reconciliation. Christian living words are important too. Words like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, filled with words like that. If you want to find the meaning in the message, look at the verbs and then look at the power words. But also take the Bible's great word pictures to heart. I mean, who can resist the images of a shepherd rescuing one lost sheep or a prophet winging his way heavenward in a flaming chariot? Who can resist the image of the Savior's body pierced by nails, hanging on a cross? See, pictures like those can stay with you forever. You need to see the pictures that God paints in the Bible. Often, the Bible uses picture words to describe God. David described God with a string of meaningful images. Psalm 18, for example. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock. In him I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Great pictures there, great images. So, if you want the Bible to be meaningful to you, if you want to relate to the Bible, first of all, find the meanings in the message. That's what I do. Wonderful words in the Bible, and you can understand them and appreciate them too. Now, secondly, to make the Bible meaningful to me, I always try to get the lay of the land. You know, just find how the scriptures laid out. Know a little bit about, well, about where these places are that I read about in the Bible. Did you know that the cities of Caesarea and Philippi, when joined together, do not make Caesarea Philippi? Caesarea was a harbor city on the Mediterranean coast. Philippi, on the other hand, was in Macedonia, northern Greece. Caesarea Philippi, far north in Israel, near the foot of Mount Hermon. It's the headwaters of the Jordan. These are not the same cities. And spending a couple of hours with a map of the biblical world, I think can help you immensely in connecting with God. For one thing, you'll discover that Israel is oriented north and south, not east and west. Obviously, a personal journey to the Holy Land is much better as a teacher than just getting a map. That's why we do this at Back to the Bible every year, and we invite folks like you to come and join us. Our annual Back to the Bible Journeys pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Your eyes become the window to Bible geography. But you know what? If you can't ever join us, you could still take those maps in the back of your Bible. And Bible geography, just getting the lay of the land, that'll flash new insights from God's Word to you, and it will help you connect with God. So, first of all, find the meanings in the message of God's Word. Secondly, learn the lay of the land. Get a little insight into where these places, these rivers, these cities, these towns, these lakes, where they're all located. It'll help you understand God's Word better.
So, what does it take to understand the Bible? Well, keep listening as Dr. Cole continues here on Back to the Bible.
Now, here's a third thing I do if I want to relate to my Bible. I want that big, thick book not to be so imposing to me. Sometimes I just stand back from the trees and I look at the forest. Stand back from the words and the phrases and the stories and the chapters and the books. Stand back and look at the whole forest. Just get a bigger picture of who God is and why He is at work in our lives and what He's doing in the world in general. You know what? When I stand back and I look at the whole forest, I find a big picture, the big picture that God wants me to understand. A good example is the life of Jesus. Now, if you only read the Gospels, you would anticipate that the life of Jesus lasted about 33 years, ended at the cross. That's what you'd anticipate. But that's not true. In fact, if you stand back from the Bible, get the big picture. Before time began, God's plan of salvation through Jesus' life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, all of this was charted by the Trinity. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 tell us that. So you can stand back and see, even before time began, God was in the business of getting ready for our salvation. Jesus' birth and His death was not an afterthought. It was a part of a bigger plan. And all the way through the Old Testament, when you stand back from the Bible and you look at the whole forest and not just the individual trees, you get the sense that there are hints of a coming Savior. Isaiah 7:14 and 9:6, Micah 5:2, Jeremiah 23:5. The Bible is filled in the Old Testament with little glimpses of insight that the plan of God is bigger than Israel, bigger than current history. God is doing something much bigger than that. And then, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Galatians 4, verse 4. See, the time came when in a little town called Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. God came to live with us. And Jesus lived, Jesus the Son of God, God the Son, lived on this earth for about 33 years. But Jesus' life did not end at Calvary. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He defeated death forever. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. And there he awaits the day when he will come again to catch us up to be with him. Now listen, if you stand back from the Bible and you get the big picture of the Bible, you're going to see that Jesus' life did not begin in Bethlehem. Jesus' lordship did not begin in Bethlehem, and it didn't end at the tomb, and it didn't end with the book of Acts. One day Jesus will return to earth in power and great glory. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 tells us that. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, verse 16. That will be the day when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. So go ahead. Examine the trees close up, but be ready occasionally just to step back, stand back, and take a look at the grand panorama of God's work. You only get to do that when you read the entire Bible.
This is Back to the Bible, and I'm Tammy Weisert, here with Bible teacher Woodrow Kroll. Well, Wood, so far, 3 points about how to relate to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Let's review.
Number one, find the meanings of Scripture.
Okay, that means follow the verbs, get the power words, and discover the word pictures.
Right. Then number two, learn the lay of the land.
Find a Bible atlas to help you understand the reality of the Bible.
Very good. And number three, stand back and find the big picture.
Remember the ultimate purpose of God's Word.
Yeah, and we also want to remember what we talked about yesterday. Taking time to let it sink in.
Thank you so much for your generous giving during our December gift challenge. You know, the truth is, we're still processing the mail, so we don't have an exact total yet. But know that we appreciate each and every gift. It's through your prayers and faithful giving that we reach thousands of people daily and help them grow in their faith. Now, Joe and Carol Facebooked us to say, your program is such a blessing and a challenge. Hey, challenges are good. And then Jeffrey told us this. Your broadcasts bring lots of joy to me. Even though I'm new to this, I want to grow deeper in my faith. Thank you for helping me with that. Pretty cool that so many of us really want to walk closer with the Lord. Then Lori posted this. I was excited to hear about Go Tandem today on your program. Since I love the teaching at Back to the Bible, I signed up immediately. I can always use help in my spiritual walk, and this will fit in perfectly. You know, we're so thankful that Lori and many others, including you, are discovering the power of God's Word through Back to the Bible Radio and Go Tandem. And we pray that you'll get involved by supporting us with your prayers and your gifts. That's what it'll take to keep Back to the Bible going strong in 2012. Now, you can make a gift online at backtothebible.org. That's backtothebible.org. Or call us at 1-800-759-2425. That's 800-759-2425. You can relate to the Bible. Let's find out more as we return to our study on Back to the Bible with Bible teacher Woodrow Kroll.
You want to be able to relate to the Bible, not just see it as some big, thick book with dry stories and endless list of names. You know, people who see the Bible that way are so misguided. Probably they have never read the Bible all the way through. And when you read the Bible all the way through, you're going to find the meanings that are in the message of the words of the Bible. You're going to learn the lay of the land. You're going to stand back and look at the trees. And you know what? When you and I understand that God did not write this book to sit on our coffee table, he did not write this book to tuck under our arm when we go to church, he did not write the Bible to be another book in the pew. He wrote the Bible to change our lives. And when I pick up my Bible, I see significant variety in the way that God wrote to me. See, the reason the Bible doesn't disappoint readers with many interests is that this is a book that itself features many literary forms. Now think about this. You want adventure? We have it in the Bible. David and Goliath, Daniel and the lion's den, Paul's shipwreck, all examples of significant adventure. Okay, so you're not into adventure. What about love stories? The story of Abraham and Sarah, what a love story that was. How about Boaz and Ruth, or Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus? The Bible has love stories. What about loyal friendships? You want stories of friendships? Joshua and Caleb. David and Jonathan, Paul and Timothy. You want intimate letters where a friend writes to a friend? Read Paul writing to Timothy or writing to Philemon. You want books that contain convincing arguments about Christianity? Read the book of Hebrews or the book of Romans. You want a compelling history? Something that'll tell you facts about history, give you names and dates and places and everything? Fine. Read the book of Samuel or Kings or read the book of Acts in the New Testament. See, the Bible has an incredible literary variety. You want close-up biographies? Read any of the four Gospels. In fact, read them all. You want the collected wisdom of great men? Read the book of Proverbs or the book of James in the New Testament. You say you're into poetry? You'll not find any better than the book of Psalms. You want to know what the future holds? You want to know prophecy? You want some insight into what is ahead of us? Well, read the book of Isaiah or the book of Revelation. Now, that's just a kind of a quick overview of all the very literary forms of the Bible. There are many of them. If you want to relate to the Bible, get to the place where you can appreciate that the Bible is not just a dry book of names. It's not just who begat whom. This is a book about adventure, about love stories, about compelling histories and biographies and poetry and prophecies. This is a great book. Don't let it sit there, friends. Read it. Become familiar with the author. Now, here's another way I allow myself to relate to the Bible, and that is I try to get to know the main characters of the Bible. You know, there are just thousands of people who figure in the stories of the Bible. But not all of them are main characters. I want to get to know the main people. Now, let me show you what I mean. Let's play a game. I'll give you the names of the most important characters. You tell me where you find them, okay? Bustopher Jones, Mungo Jerry, Rumpelteazer, Mr. Mistopheles, Grizzabella, Old Deuteronomy. Recognize any of those main characters? Well, of course, they're T.S. Eliot's long-running Broadway production of Cats. A little too tough. Well, let's try a movie. Let's see, there's Frodo, Aragorn, Gandalf, Gollum. Recognize those names? Lord of the Rings. See, most of us can identify main characters, and in doing that, we get to know their strengths, their foibles, and how they relate to others. So if you want to connect with God, get to know the key players in His Word. People like the great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, or Old Testament heroes like Samuel and David and Elijah. Or go to the New Testament and get familiar with Paul and the 12 disciples. But whatever you do, be sure to spend time getting to know the central person of the Bible, Jesus, Son of God, Savior of the world. When I pick up my Bible, I don't see a big, thick, dry, dusty, dark, difficult kind of book. It's like picking up a love letter. See, God never intended His Word to be merely a collection of historical facts or literary forms. He wanted its message to reach every person of every age, including you. That's why you ought to receive God's Word as a personal letter, a letter from God. It makes a big difference in connecting with God if you remember that the Bible was written by someone who loves you, someone who loves you immensely, someone that you ought to read. Because in that book, you'll find the story of His love. Now, don't let the Bible intimidate you. You can relate to the Bible. the only book God ever wrote. Don't let the only book God ever wrote become a roadblock to your intimacy with God. It isn't a roadblock, friends. It's the way you learn about God and how you become intimate with Him. You need to relate to the Bible because God wants to relate to you. And the way He has chosen to relate to you is through His Word. So pick up that book. Don't let it lie there. Start to read it. Start to get to know the author.
Did you know your prayers and gifts for this ministry are helping to encourage men, women, and children, and they in turn are encouraging others? It's true. And here's what they're saying. Thank you for your consistently truthful teaching. I recommend Back to the Bible to everyone, especially seekers and new believers. And then this. I listen to your program at 5 a.m. on my way to work. I've recommended your program to others. It has encouraged me to read more of the Bible. And then finally, thanks for your ministry. It's a blessing and an education in God's Word. Now, as encouraging as that is, let's face it. After the rush of Christmas, well, we often experience a letdown. But there's no letting down in ministry. It's critical to encourage people with God's Word, especially now. And any gift you offer will provide a much-needed financial boost. So find out more about the ministries of Back to the Bible and give online at backtothebible.org or call 1-800-759-2425. You're listening to Back to the Bible with Bible teacher Woodrow Kroll. Now, Wood, there's no doubt that being in the Word is a must if we want to have a vibrant relationship with the Lord. But if we're not consistently reading the Bible now and we want to change that, what's it going to take?
Oh, you're wondering about how much time to spend, where to read, things like that?
Yeah.
Well, in this case, I think the best rules are your rules. You know, what works best for me may not work best for you. I would suggest, however, you begin by setting aside maybe 15 or 20 minutes every day, perhaps the first thing in the day. Shut everybody else out of your life at that time. Get to a quiet place alone. Spend some time in prayer asking God to help you understand what He has for you in His Word that day. And then spend some time reading the only book that God ever wrote. Make some notes. Jot down a few notes to yourself. Write a question or two. Explore that question later. Pray again. Ask God to help you understand and to put into practice what you've read that day. And then later on in the day, you can go back to those questions, to those notes. Think about them a second time. I think you'll be surprised how often I get insight from God's Word after leaving it for a while and then going back to it.
Okay, now, what happens when we miss a couple of days?
Well, that's why God gives us a weekend, so we can catch up.
All right. Now, if we're already reading, any thoughts on kicking it up a notch to really get more out of our reading time?
Yeah, some of the things I've mentioned, note-taking, questions, writing out what the passage says to you. Make a list of the things you saw this time that you never saw before. A cross-reference. By that, I mean find where that same truth is taught someplace else in Scripture. And then write down some action steps to take as a result of what you've learned. I mean, just put some times and dates on these things so that you can be accountable to yourself. Make it personal. I mean, the Bible's about God, but He wants you to see that what He's writing to you is personal for you.
That is so true. Now, Wood, we've mentioned it before, but it seems like a good time to talk about Go Tandem here again. And, of course, Go Tandem is our new mobile discipleship tool that can also help you spend time in God's Word. Maybe think about Go Tandem as your own personal trainer. It comes with daily emails and text messages from God's Word to help you get your spiritual life in shape. You can even sign up for a weekly encourager call from one of our Go Tandem staff members to check in and just help you meet your goals. Check it out at gotandem.com. That's gotandem.com.
Now, the weekend is here, and I know you're going to want to be in your place worshiping the Lord. Be faithful to your church and your pastor this week.
And be sure to join us next week as we begin a two-week series on one of the most dynamic leaders in the Bible. His name? Nehemiah, and we'll take a close look at his life and his leadership qualities starting on Monday.
Thanks so much for being here today. It's always good to have you as a part of our listening family. God bless you. I'm Woodrow Kroll. Have a good and godly day. For of what lasting value is a good day if it's not also a godly day.
Today's program is furnished by Back to the Bible. Thank you for your support.